Some people may ask, what's the time? And I tell them, it's Second Funniest Podcast time, with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Worsham. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 513. With me, as always, is, guess what, the cast of Sly 4. That's right, that is part two of our recent episode with Matt Olson, Chris Murphy, and, of course, thekevinmiller.com, where we finished discussing all of their good times and just all-around fun banter about Sly 4. So without further ado, enjoy part two. Well, that's what I think is was for me, because I recently played through all the games and then started into Sly 4, and I was like, and I remember you telling me that it kind of started off where they wanted, you talked about it last time, I think, or at some point you said that, you know, they wanted it to be more jokey or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, this really isn't how Sly is, but there is, it's to me, like, I guess my brain justified it is that this is us seeing them together for such a long time.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Everybody's like, we've been through hell and back, and now it's like, ah, whatever, because you get to see this side of Sly where he's like, he's kind of cutting loose, and he's got some smarmy comments back to Bentley or whatever, and I like hearing Bentley going, okay, but if we could just focus, please. Like, if we could just...
Yeah, like, they've done this a million times.
Right.
They've like... been through this so many times.
And and so for me watching, I'm like, oh, at first I was like, oh, my God, this is like a different character. But then the more I played it, the more I was like, oh, okay, now I see what's happening here is that there is a dynamic, and it is slightly different, and it's not off-putting to me.
Yeah,
it's not like weird or jarring or anything like that.
Yeah, I like how the characters have evolved. I'm waiting for, like, now Sly, of course, has had a girlfriend. Bentley's now had a girlfriend and an ex-girlfriend, and now I'm waiting for Murray to get a girlfriend.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Who's going to shack up with some guy like him?
Well,
you know?
He's got a van. See, I think
he's got a van. Like, that's all it takes.
That's it.
It's not 1972.
In reality, like, these three characters, if they were in high school together, Murray would be the first one to have a wife and kid.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they got out of high school, he would be the one that would be hooked up with
the wife.
He would
be the All-American on the football team that would knock up, maybe not, like, the captain of the cheerleader squad, but somebody, like, maybe, I don't know, either first or second level of the bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she would have some heft to her, I feel. Like, she would have some substance. She wouldn't need any vitamin C or D, you know? And then there would be some kind of a oops-a-ma-daisy, you know, when he got a little aggressive with the dinging. And then, you know, lo and behold, they're knocked up. It's not that they do it because it's the right thing. You know, they get together, they build a life together.
Again, you have a whole backstory that I was not anticipating. Yeah.
I may be more of a super fan than I let on.
I feel like he ends up selling commercial.
And I can't believe you guys want to make a cartoon out of this. Look at this little side story we have here. This whole Murray family life thing.
Yeah, you're
right. And I just want to make it clear
for a cartoon.
He's not unhappy. He's not unhappy with, you know, because you see a lot of it, and that's where what we're doing here is different. You see the guy. He's the, you know, the former jock. He's obviously unhappy in his adult life. He longs for the golden age of his high school years. This is not the Murray we know now. This Murray is very happy and content with the love of his life, and, you know.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Yeah, Murray, that's just the nature of Murray.
Yeah.
You know, he's happy generally wherever he is.
Right. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
As long as he's got the van.
now, having said that, this is one of those moments that I wish I could find what kind of sex fetish it was to be in love with a car, because I saw a video about that.
Oh,
there's a guy who makes out
fetishes.
With his Mazda RX-7 or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. He caresses what? It and, like, he gets underneath it and kisses the bumper of it and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
It's not autoerotic.
Wow.
That's something.
Yeah, that's very different.
David command of the English language is very impressive.
David Carradine will be missed. What animal do you think Murray would be most likely to build a relationship with, so that when we do see Sly 5, not that you guys are saying it's happening or that it is happening, this is just me, Justin Worsham, talking.
I think it's time.
Yeah, like, it's obviously time. Everybody cycled through. What do you think? What
I
kind
say,
of animal pairs well?
Oh, well, I was going to say, I had the image of a bison, and then I remembered we've already seen Jean Bison. But but what I saw was a like a pinkish haired bison with ribbons in her hair everywhere, and so she's like big and beefy, but has these attempts to be feminine to her. That's what I saw when you asked the question.
All right. Okay.
Matt has his eyes shut and is channeling.
No, I think it would be a ghost.
Wow. I like that.
Like a Pac-Man kind of ghost, just formless.
Yeah.
Waka, 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 waka. That's cool.
Interesting.
All right, now to the real
like
source.
A, small like a ferret.
Oh, you know, that could be funny.
You know, play the opposite. So just some...
little
some
tiny
little,
thing.
You know, yeah, ferret. I think ferret's good.
I think you're right, because it's not like, I mean, we don't see, and most of the time, I mean, I have a friend who he's 6'4 or whatever, and of course he has a girlfriend who's 5'2. No,
not
it's
me.
Not you.
Yeah.
But that's something you see very often in life. So, I think that makes sense. Art often imitates life, I've heard. And I think why not have it here in this example? So
now, you know, it was interesting. Speaking of Sly Five, when Matt
your friend
Kramer
is
on,
named Art?
Yeah,
and he wishes it was Michael.
He's not real. He's often in a delusional world. He calls it life.
When Matt Kramer mentioned doing another Sly game, he said he would want to make it totally different. He said that he wanted to make Sly 4 like a Sly game, whatever that means. And then if he was to do another one, it would be. He would do something else, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if you've heard that.
Like a real-time strategy Sly Cooper?
That's what I wondered. I was like, do you mean same kind of game mechanics of like a third-person puzzle-solving action stealth game, but with other elements? I was like, wow, the sky's the limit there. What else could you...
What are you talking, like Fly in Space?
Yeah, that's like, what I think.
Story-wise, just something like, completely different.
He steals Pluto.
I had an idea for a game.
Oh, yeah?
Because a lot of people are allergic to cats.
Okay.
What about a game where you pet cats?
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Is it like on your PS Move or your Kinect or whatever? You just sort of sit there and...
Well, I'm not a scientist.
This is pretty good. Are you allergic to cats?
No, I love cats.
Oh, okay.
Do you have one?
I don't.
Well, I'm much more comfortable with a cat in the room.
My wife is named Cat.
Not
the same. Not the same.
It's spelled with a K.
I don't ever just sit in the corner.
That's just like a crappy kindergartner name. Like, yeah.
I don't think anyone would appreciate it if I petted her either.
She might.
She probably would punch you.
Really?
Yeah, she's very strong.
Oh, that's right. She's got that. She's still in that mob mode.
Oh yeah, yeah. She'll defend
her. A baby, so she'll lift a car to save a child.
Yeah. When do they stop being babies? We were just discussing that. When do they?
If we want to shift podcasts, after 1 year, they begin becoming a toddler.
Oh. Oh, got it. 1 year. Okay.
And the idea is really when they can walk, because they don't really walk, they toddle. So that's why they're called toddlers.
I'm going to get the thesaurus back out and see if that's true. That seems made up.
I do know that is true. Right. But so the time frame can be different. So in like, I think the clinical sense, once they're a year old, then they're technically toddlers.
Got it. At what point can they start playing video games?
They can now.
Yes.
Not very well.
Boo.
But my son started at 2.
That's right. He sure did. Yeah.
So, yeah. And now we've played through all the Sly games. We're working our way through the Ratchet & Clank collection.
You haven't played the...
Sly 4. We haven't finished Sly 4. Yeah. No, obviously. I don't know what this Arabian Nights thing you speak of is.
Can a 4-year-old play a video game, or is it mostly you and he's watching?
To be honest, there is a lot. We do it old school, like before you would play online. So we play until you die is the way I used to play with my friends. Only I have added to it because otherwise I could just finish the game. I'm far superior to him in more ways than just video gaming.
Like 10 times as
I mean, I'm talking about junk. but he so what I do is if you finish a level too, then I hand the control over to him. And it's been I thought I'm just going to be bored and sitting there going, God, why are you doing this?
Jump. Press jump.
But in actuality, it's been fun. Like because I get to hang out with him and I still get to play a video game. And so it's kind of become like a camaraderie thing that we get to do together. And he loves it. Kevin knows this and our listeners know this. You guys don't know this, that he plays Sly Cooper now with his friends at preschool. And his friends don't know who Sly Cooper is because they're all 4.
We should get them all Vitas.
I know, right? but he does. So he's explained to them what Sly Cooper is. His friend Corbin is Bentley. And his... one of the, I can't remember. I think it's Isabella. It's either Isabel or London is Murray, which I think is hilarious.
That's awesome.
And then one day there's this kid, Ashu, who was Murray because the other girls didn't want to play or whatever. Ashu by easily the smallest kid in this class. Easily the smallest kid in the class. Corbin, probably second to third largest. He's Bentley. Doesn't know what it is. Like, doesn't get it, but they're just, I think that they, Jacob goes around acting out the game and running around jumping off of things, and they just run around going, I'm Bentley, and I'm Murray, and that's what we do.
Really?
But, yeah, that's the only thing I can imagine, because I can't imagine my son at four, even though he is pretty aware of things, sitting down and going, okay, here's what you do, Bentley. You explain a threefold plan, all right? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go first take pictures of whatever layout it is that we're in. Like, say, we'll use this playground just to get you a rudimentary understanding of what we're dealing with. After this, we'll get into more complex things like maybe major metropolitan areas or social economic areas, whatever would be interesting in an environment for someone to play in a fantasy-type situation.
It sounds just like your son, though.
Yeah, this is how he talks. Yeah. And once you really have a firm grasp of that, almost to the point where it's dull, then we'll start jumping around in history. Okay. That will be challenging because none of us have any understanding of history beyond the last 2 hours.
Mr. Worsham, what is my motivation as a turtle? Am I scared and want to go in my shell?
Great question, Corbin. You are the brains, my friend.
I see.
That's all you got to worry about. You're the smarts, okay? I'm the cool one. And London, she's tubby. So
let's play.
And he jumps off a slide.
That's pretty much the direction we got for Sly 4, I think. That sounds really... and then read the script.
The only disappointing part about playing this game with my son is paying $700 plus a month for preschool, having him go attend that school for almost a year now, and then having him say, what do I do? I go, you hit the square button. And he goes, which one is that? And then it's weird now because we transition between Sly and Ratchet and Clank. And so I go, hit the square button. And he's like, which? I go, the attack one. That he knows.
Oh,
he knows X is the jump button.
Yeah.
Circle, he's got nailed.
Yeah. Because you jump and press the circle
button. Yeah, the repetition easily. Right. But yeah, and it's also been cool to watch because he's gotten really good at playing through the levels, and he can't really figure out puzzles or navigate the map, so I get him to a level and then he'll play out a mission or something like that. But he played the ones that are really cool, which I think I'm going to get the hack pack, is all of the Bentley like old school arcade versions of like the mini games.
Yeah, you got to get it. It's great.
He was like, oh, I couldn't really get it, but that one where he looks like kind of like a Rambo and floating.
Yeah, he flies around.
Now he understands that one. That's a solid
little hack pack too.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
You know what we're talking about?
No, I heard about it. I don't really know what it is.
You say things like, every little ionic bit helps.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar? Yeah.
Well, that didn't sound like Bentley.
I wasn't doing Bentley. That was Sly doing Bentley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure I said these lines.
It's sort of a standalone game that just takes the engine of all the like hacking missions and makes new, almost like Angry Bird missions out of them. So you have like 20 levels and you try to pass through them. And it's great for the Vita, and they're on the PS3 as well.
Is this related to if you get the treasures in the levels, you can open up a video game?
Slightly,
or something?
Yeah. Very close. It's the same things. Some of them are the same things. And then but the hack pack has its own hub world that looks like an old school arcade. And so, like, the characters are all playing the arcade games, and Carmelita's like hanging out against a bar, and Bentley's playing one of the games, and there's quarters and stuff involved. And then you go to Dimitri's table, and he has prizes that you can buy with coupons and stuff. So then in the game itself, in Thieves in Time, you unlock the arcade, and there's a couple of games that you can play on each of the levels. But there, once you get to level 5, it restarts over again, and you can play again. Unlike the hack pack, it's like level 20 or something. There's a lot more. Hack pack.
Okay.
Get it.
$2.99. Well worth it.
Okay. Well worth it.
I'll do it.
A lot of content for $2.99. And it's all you. That's the other thing. Great. You're the only voice in the whole thing.
And the more people that buy it, a little more job security, I think, gets thrown your way. Yeah. Which leads me, I think, we're at about an hour 15. Can we start to wrap it up? Is that good? Or is that...
No, we're going to... Let's keep going. Keep this... How long does everybody have?
I don't know. I have all the time in the world, I guess.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I have...
probably like another 6,000 hours.
6,000 hours. Great. Well, let's do two episodes, and, okay. and we'll split them up later.
All right. Yeah, sounds like a plan, then. My question was going to be, and then I lost it. Oh, so you guys, I think we talked about this a little bit when we did the last episode, but I think it would be interesting to check in again on it, is what... Have you guys had any, like, I know that you're not on Facebook, right, Matt? You don't do any of the social network, Twitter, none of that stuff.
He's actually in a long-standing fight with Zuckerberg.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They used to go to school together.
I'm living in a permanent 1976.
Okay. And, like that Mars detective series? What was that called? Office
Life
of Mars?
On Mars.
Life on Mars?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know that one.
Maybe it's where he gets some head trauma and he gets sent back to the 70s.
I'll stop you there. It debuted before 1970 or after 1976, so you won't know it.
Wow. No. Yeah, paradoxes are hard for me to understand. That's really my kryptonite. I didn't even. Wow. I apologize. I apologize for disrespecting your world. This little Thank machine you. Here is a reel to reel that's recording this podcast. It's
I also same. Don't see fingers.
That's oddly
this
specific.
Right here, if I point with my elbow, does that?
It helps.
All right. That's awesome.
Oddly no, I'm specific. Not on any social media. Okay. That's the actual question. No.
How about you, Chris?
No, I really don't. I'm pretty much, I may have evolved into 1980 somewhere.
Okay.
But, you know, I use the Walkman. I'm there.
Nice.
But, yeah, not Facebook so much. Like, I have an account, but I haven't been on it for months.
I posted something around your birthday, and I was like, man, I sure hope this guy's alive, because if I post on his birthday, that's going to suck. Thankfully, you were alive. Because nobody was posting on your page. And usually, even if you're dormant, people like myself see that it's your birthday and say, happy birthday. It was silent. It was empty. And I think if I look, I'm still the only one that's posted on your page.
Well, thank you.
Not to change the trend that we've got going here and go off topic, but I don't know that I'm a fan of 4,700 messages about happy birthday.
Like, I didn't.
I feel like it makes me feel obligated.
I'm not a proponent for or against it. Okay. I just simply was citing a trend.
Okay.
That's all.
You guys are both, by you guys, I mean the people that I'm looking at here, not Chris, are both heavily into Facebook and Twitter and the internet.
Well, because I'm a stand-up, and... I have it for that.
Really?
Yeah. That was insulting.
He gave you his CD last time we hung out.
Message received.
How?
Can we take a break real quick?
Yeah, real quick.
I mean, I'm fine. I can take a joke.
Just the real is having a problem.
I just, I got something in my throat or something in my heart. It could be some kind of knife.
It's like first person stabbers. You got to watch out.
My question was, which I guess is irrelevant, but is that I was wondering if how often you guys are reached out to or has anybody, you know.
Oh, yeah. Good question.
You know, there is a long time ago, maybe after the second Sly Cooper, mm-hmm. somebody sent a email to Sucker Punch. It was a girl from Australia. She was 9 years old. And it got forwarded to me, and she was basically proposing to me.
Really?
Really?
Well, she said she wanted to marry Bentley, and I kind of took that as me.
As yeah. rightly.
I mean, there is that other guy who does the scratch audio, that. But I mean, she didn't hear him. She wasn't an E3. So.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's probably the best fan letter I ever got.
That's adorable,
but it
though.
Had to go through another person to get to me. So as far as reaching out to me, I don't know how somebody would.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, because you don't have a website. You don't have. Yeah.
You wouldn't recognize me in real life from the video game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I can walk, and I'm a human.
And you don't walk around with the voice. Although nobody ever recognizes your voice. Yeah. That's not a thing.
No, that would be good, though. I should try that one day.
That would be impressive. If you go to Comic-Con, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, when they were talking about setting up something at Comic-Con or E3, I really wanted to wear a foam rubber Bentley suit and walk around, and I thought that would be really fun. It never happened.
I offered Kevin, the same thing. I said at E3 I'd wear Sly if they wanted me to. They're like, maybe. They seemed highly interested.
Kevin had a great moment, which we talked about on the show, but I think it bears repeating in front of you guys, that at Comic-Con, we were both at Comic-Con together.
That's right.
Sony had a booth, and they had the new game, and so you could play it on the Vita and on the PlayStation. So he goes and he plays a level. And then he goes over to the Vita, and he was trying to play something else, not even Sly Cooper, Thieves of Time or whatever.
It was Retro City Rampage.
And then this kid comes up with his friend, and it was like, it was funny because the kid was there, and he had like a friend that was almost sidekickish, like if you would. Like. And so they're both playing the Vita, and then we had just told the
guy
working
there. He was a young
there,
Murray.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a solid
example. Pretty odd.
So, and I wish, I'm so sorry that I don't remember his name, but anyway.
He talks to me online all the time.
Oh, really?
through PSN, yeah.
Great. So he was sitting there, and he's like, oh, so I love this game so much. I'm so excited for this new one. Like, you don't understand. And the guy that was working the booth had just found out that Kevin was the voice of Sly Cooper. And so he goes, well, you know, he's Sly. And then, like, and then has this moment of, like, looks up at me while Kevin was playing Retro City Rampage and looks up at me like I'm Kevin's handler. Like, he goes, oh, crap, should I not have said something? What if, oh, no, what if this is only chance for anonymity? Like, you know, like, and I go, no, he's fine. He would love it. Like, that's totally fine. He's like, really? He goes, and then the kid goes, what did you just say? Like, so all that transpired at the same time. And he goes, that's Sly right there. And he goes, Kevin Miller. Kevin Miller is here. Like, he starts looking around.
And that's when I heard
Kevin,
my name.
Yeah, Kevin hears his name, and he, like, looks over, and, like, and then he goes, and the guy points at him, and he goes, you're Kevin Miller? He goes, yes, I'm Kevin Miller. He goes, and the kid, like, practically craps himself. Like, he just goes,
right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my. Like, just starts losing his mind there at Comic-Con. And just, I can't even remember what else he said, but
he
was like.
He had a T-shirt that was handmade for Sly Cooper. He had taken a white T-shirt, printed out a picture of Sly, and scotch taped it to the front of his shirt.
That's right.
That's how hardcore this guy was for Sly Cooper.
And then he wanted to take a picture.
He took a picture.
But he didn't have a phone, and he was freaking out because neither.
Did he have a camera?
No. So I took a picture with my iPhone and then emailed
him. He turned to his buddy, do you have a camera?
Yeah. I said, do you want a pic? Or no, I think you said something because he was just kind of standing there in shock and awe or whatever. And Kevin's like, well, do you want to take a picture or something? He's like, yes. Yes, I do. But was so like awestruck at what had just happened to him. I mean, even barring the fact that he's a big fan of the game and all that stuff and the voice of the main characters in front of him, the fact that it's happening right next to Sony where he's picking up the game to try the demo or whatever to play for the first time.
He's got a homemade T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It's just like, a perfect storm. Perfect.
It's exactly what Comic-Con
And so he's
all
like,
about.
Yes, I do want a picture. And then looked at Kevin like, are you going to provide this? And then kind of went, oh, no, that's not a thing I would ask you to do. And then he looks at his friend, do you have a camera? Like he would go, always. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, of course, bro.
And I go, I'll take it with my phone and I'll email it to you. And he's like, oh, okay. All right, good.
Did you end up doing that?
Yeah, I took a picture and then I got his email from him and sent it off to him and said, you know, here's my email. Let me know if you
But my favorite was after that moment when he said, so can we just talk?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. What's going on?
So I think you're right in that maybe a Comic-Con or an E3 situation, if you walked around as the voice and stood near the booth, you'd have a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think you'd have more than just seven-year-old Australians proposing.
Yeah, because when I went to E3, like, I went over to see the EA booth to see the new SimCity game when it was still in development, and I introduced myself as Voice of Sly, and they brought people out of their booth. So they're like, oh, this is the Voice of Sly. This person's always wanted to meet you. Sure. This person's always a big fan. So at those places, you have name and you have clout, so I recommend it.
I've had good experiences, well, fun experiences, where I meet somebody, and then after I've known them for a few weeks, somehow it comes out through another friend or something, and then that person says, like, oh, you're the voice of that game?
Or right.
That's always kind of fun, to actually know them first.
Yes, and then it comes around. Okay.
I think we just lost Chris.
Chris has been eating. Yeah, because I find...
He's improvising somewhere, and he died doing what he loved.
I'm going to post on his page. I've been waiting for this moment. Yeah, because I find if I lead with that, it doesn't make any sense. Like people, especially in Hollywood, they're like, what do you do? And if I say, oh, I do voices for games, they'll ask, well, what games? And then I'll say Sly Cooper, and they're like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, well, then you don't know many games, because it's not like I said, you know, Drop Fizz or something that doesn't exist.
You don't know many games.
I had a hard time coming up with an obscure game.
Monkey Ball. How about that? Is that
like Monkey Ball makes it to the Sonic or the Sega All-Stars.
Something Frenzy. What was that game? Fusion Frenzy?
Yeah, like that would be a good example. example of like, I'm infusing, like, what does that even mean? Which I think
within it's a party like game. Any form of media, there are about three things that rise into the level that everybody knows.
That's true. Right? That's true. So, like, if I had said I'm in a Mario game or a Sonic game,
or Call of Duty, maybe,
or Halo or something like that, that's what they're expecting. But
it's like saying I'm in U2 or Coldplay or I'm Jay-Z.
Those are your three bands.
But if you say I'm in the Fiery Furnaces, people are not going to
We're great.
That's right.
We're fantastic.
Can you guys imagine what, like, at what point, what number, so we're at Sly 4 right now. When did this journey, is it 15 years ago that the...
No, just about, just a little over 10. The first game came out in September of 2002.
Okay. So what what number do you think where you, first of all, your agent has to track you down, Chris, and then the rest of you get phone calls. At what number do you guys say, no, I'm tapped out. I can't do it anymore.
Where we make the choice that we want.
Yeah, that you say, no, why are we doing this still? I cannot get in a booth and drink 4 gallons of tea to get through 6,000 hours of recording. I'm out.
Well, I'm not going to do any sequels.
What have we been doing?
I imagine it's a different character.
It's his brother, also named Bentley. The exact same history and relationship.
In his defense, one could walk, the other couldn't. Yeah, I mean, there's
true.
At least that.
That's like, true. Yeah, you took that clone thing seriously.
Yeah. I mean, why would I not do it?
That's what I would have
I'm just
to be,
curious. I'm just throwing it out there for the sake
of
me.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I'll do two more, and then they have to change my character's name to Michael, or I'm out.
I would agree with that. I think that's a solid
note. Other than that, like, you know, I'm in for the long run. Yeah, like, you know,
totally.
I agree. Why would I not? I love doing it. I'll do them as long as I can.
I think we will legitimately sound like ourselves for at least the next 20 years, mm-hmm. maybe 30, and then our voices will get
But that's
all.
What I'm saying. You don't even have to do that, because I would imagine the characters would also age at some point.
Well, there's something about, like, you know, Superman didn't age, and the Charlie Brown kids, they don't age. They just recast those little kids. Yeah. So if Sly does hit a level where it's a generational franchise, and our children's children are into whatever iteration of Sly Cooper, we won't be the cast.
Do you think they would ever Power Ranger it, where you guys would have different variations of yourselves in each time in each game?
I don't understand that reference.
So, like, there was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and then now they have, like, Mega Force Power Rangers, and then there's Samurai Power Rangers. Like, they just keep coming up with every, instead of a season having to pay the same cast and let them build up acclaim, they just do a refresh. They still get because to reload with new toys, and it's a whole new thing.
It's a whole new cast,
I don't think so. I think that they would probably redesign the look, but the characters would always, I think, be Bentley, Sly, and Murray, Carmelita.
Because at the end of the last game, I just played it through without seeing the secret ending that happens.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay, so the end of it's your monologue talking about how Sly is missing, and we can't find him, and we think he's dead. There's, like, you know, Carmelita finds a picture in the wreckage in the water and that kind of thing. And then there's,
you're
like,
totally ruining the game for Chris.
He's never going to play it. He keeps trying to put it on his Xbox and his Atari. And so when I was done with the game, I turned it off and thought, oh my gosh, they've killed Sly. Like, the next game.
I didn't.
The next game is all about Bentley trying to find Sly, or like the search for Sly. Which that might actually be what it is, because then at the end of the secret ending,
I just had this, like, little scenario play out of my mind that I'm sitting in the room, and it's like you guys are William Shatner and George Takei, and, like, you really hate each other, like, you, and, like, everybody's just trying to bite and, like, just trying to undercut the other one, like, and, like, that was really happening. Like, sorry, that just
we have
made
much back Hollywood drama
that made me happy inside. Sorry.
So I I was concerned that the next game would all would be completely Sly free, that it'd be like the Search for Sly or something. And then I saw the secret ending that has Sly wake up in ancient Egypt, and I was like, oh, good, he's in the next game. So,
no, that'd be, I mean, that would be ridiculous.
It would.
Sly is the main character.
It's called Sly Cooper.
Nobody wants to see Robin by himself running around.
Teen Titans, though, that's Robin and some friends.
You're not helping yourself, Kevin.
You're right. It should just be Sly on a solo project. Right.
Also not helping. He's a writer.
The two stooges.
You've got the writer and the improviser in the cast that you just eliminated.
And I'm the straight man. Guys, I can do wacky voices for dying. Don't you want some more of that?
Cut to Sly Five, all Italy.
Damn it! Oh, Sam!
This is the Rome level. This is the Venice level. This is the Milan level.
This is the Vatican level. Why? There's so many.
Oh, good times. So, I mean, here's what I remember from when I did a bunch of work for video games.
You've worked?
You're right. It's an unfair statement to say I've worked. But anyway, that they are easy. You know what I mean? It's not like it's arduous to voice get video games. You know what I mean? It's
to
not,
get say again. What are you saying?
I'm saying that the
are you
work
insulting all of us? What's happening right now?
No, to do the job of reading a script for a video game is pretty easy. You stand in front of the microphone and you read.
But I'm not even talking about like that level. Like I guess really because. Maybe in your sake and Chris's sake, in that because there's like a gruffness to the voice that it could be physically rough on your voice. But I'm saying if they told you you had like for Kevin, if they said, okay, we're gonna bust out 10 hours today, it's not like you would be like, I can't. Like this is horrible. This is
no, but I will get dizzy. I mean, that's happened in sessions when we've gone for 8 hours at around hour six. I need to sit down. Because just hearing myself and projecting and talking. Because like you said, like it is, I think it's easy compared to other acting traits.
Right,
like
that's my point too.
If you compare voice acting for video games to doing a feature film, like that's art or stunt work or something. Sure. That's hard work.
Or even I would say voice acting for a feature film. You see,
yeah,
like,
there's
you know
a lot
I mean?
More work to that. We show up in what we want. Mm-hmm. We don't have to memorize anything, like all those things. But it's not easy, like that idea of anybody can do it. That's not true because there's breath control, there's pacing. You have to be able to take direction, you
accents.
Have to, yeah, accent, big part.
Well,
you have to be able to.
Yeah, yeah. And for Kevin, well, and probably for you too, Matt. More in this one, like when you're doing all the exposition stuff, you still have to do it in a way where you're like emotionally full and present and all that stuff. And there's still a lot of, you know, that's taxing after hours and hours of it, whether you're doing it in a booth or on a stage or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
I agree. It's not surgery, and it's not mucking sewers. I agree.
Well, I guess what my point is that the vibe of hearing you guys all just talk about it made me think that it's like, why wouldn't we do it? It's completely fun. It's not, and that's what I was saying is that. Yeah. I guess is there a point where you could imagine it going like, I really just want to do something else, you know? Like, but I guess it's for you in the way that this comes together is that there is also like these kind of big gaps that happen between.
Yeah, I think
the
if
work
we were
in the game.
If any of us were Nolan North, and like that's a question for him. Would you ever want to move on from being just a voice guy? Because
for me specifically, I'm saying just doing like because you guys are a franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I was thinking of is that you guys are a franchise that is going to go boom, 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 boom. And I just was like, you know, everybody always thinks of it like, well, how long can the franchise sustain? But that I was just curious in case, like, what if one of you guys was like, I think I could do two more, but then I would like find somebody else, you know? And then I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. But in actuality, it's not interesting.
You just want our jobs.
No, don't want your jobs. Do not want that.
The question will be whether or not Gray stays on as Carmelita. That'll be the.
I think that's a given that she will not be.
When we ask people on the I Want Sly Cooper in His Own Animated Series on Facebook, and I said, well, you know, what do you want to see in a series? Several people said, I think clearly somebody has to play Carmelita in every episode.
That would be fantastic.
I was like,
an SNL host, like.
Yeah, like it's somebody different. It's so fascinating that history of the character has become part of the mythos that the fans expect a different voice actor every time the thing shows up. I was like, I doubt that that's what they do, but I'll put it in the suggestion box.
I wonder if it was as simple as that they didn't, she didn't have a Kevin Miller that knew her contact info, and that, like, otherwise, we could easily be having this conversation about Carmelita and Murray. Like,
there are three women out there that are very angry if that's the case, because I don't have any of their contact.
They should have been more receptive to your advances. That's what I say to that, ladies that are listening, clearly angry and need to move on. Stick that in your little cork pipe and smoke it.
You said corn pipe.
Well,
right?
It sounds to me like Matt should just do Carmelita.
Oh, yeah.
He's in for the long run, anyway. Yeah.
I'll do it the next game.
For one game. For one game. I think that's fair.
Yeah, why not?
Did I already ask you guys? I wanted to, and I don't know if I did. You guys have a favorite level or favorite thing that you guys were going through? I don't think we got to. We did that with the animators and the developers, so I figured why not do that with you guys too. We'll go with you first, Chris, because everybody else seems to be staring at the ceiling, unless you are in San Francisco staring at your ceiling. In which case, yeah. Go
no, I'm staring at the wall in front of me. I was making my way up there, but I didn't quite get there. No, I can't say that there is any particular level that I liked more than any other. But it was, like we were saying, it was so spread out too. You know, it was hard to really compare one thing to the other.
Did it seem discombobulated when you were doing it? Like you didn't have a through line. You had to rely on the directors and producers to kind of guide you and explain to you the thread of what's happening.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, each level was such its own story. It made it very easy to do it that way. I would need help in stringing together where in the overall, like the big picture story are we, you know, when are we in the Ice Age? Where are we here? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. So I did need help with that.
Now, you had a big chunk in the Ice Age. It's like that's all Murray all the time. You have the awesome montage sequence, and then you also get to do the boss battle. How was the montage sequence? Like, you get all those great instructions to Bob, Caveman Cooper.
I do remember that one as being very fun. I don't remember the specifics. If I played the game, I think I probably would have like been able to really recall all of that a lot more and just to see it visually and going through it. I think it would have solidified it a lot more in my
brain.
Sure,
than just these isolated moments.
It just seems like it was so long ago.
It probably was.
You know.
Well, I thought it was great because it gave a chance for Murray to do something more. Like, we saw another side to Murray. And usually he doesn't get to talk. Matt, just walk back in the room. Generally, Murray just sits in the background and then throws out some comical beat or something or says something nonsensical. But for him it was cool to see like a little piece of his psyche to kind of talk about what is important to Murray and how he gets through his process and the way for him to coach people. I thought it was a fun little section of the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's when I'm coaching the guy a bit, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it.
Okay, it's all coming back to me now.
It was in 2010.
I had a moment where I was sitting there going, is he stumped? And I went, why would it? Oh, it's 2 years ago. Oh, that's right. That's
right. I just remember it all as being like, you know, two and a half to three hour segments of screaming into a microphone.
I had to pass out and wake up on the freeway.
2 years.
Yeah, this is kind of the equivalent of me trying to explain to you my week of headlining at Branson, Missouri in 2000. Like, it would be like, well, the nuances of Thursday night show was really interesting because we only had four people in attendance. Was that Sunday? Wait, no, I think that was... Was that Sunday? Hold on, I gotta call somebody.
Why that story? If there were only four people there, why do you call that one out of the memory banks?
Because I dropped a C-bomb on one of the women that was overly drunk, and she thought
I don't remember.
What I love about it is that when I first did it, she thought it was funny, but she was so drunk, she went to the bathroom and evidently pissed out her brain, came back, and when I referenced it again and said, oh, the C word is back, she went, what is your problem? Like, she just got all offended by it. And I was like, wait, no, remember we had a bit earlier that we did? I have done nothing to you, and you're attacking me. I'm like, no, actually, you're doubly wrong, because remember, you were heckling me. You were yelling at me, talking about how my act was BS, and that, you know, I haven't said anything to you all night. I'm just here trying to have fun. Wow, you are drunk. You are hammered. You are so hammered.
You sure they weren't two different women?
I was pretty drunk that night. That's the part I think I'm remembering. It's all coming back to me too, Chris, is my point.
Same question to Matt. What was your question?
Was there a particular like part or level that you remember going, oh, this is a fun part of the story for me to play as Bentley?
Well, no, it's not a level necessarily. I remember the level where I get really depressed and bummed out, and I liked that, but I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah, you go inside the shell.
Yeah, I don't say anything, but I thought that was kind of an interesting idea. I don't really get to do anything, but I thought it was good. I think my favorite part is just doing banter with the other characters, because I mostly just tell people what to do, like I've said before. Yeah. But when I actually can actually talk to somebody else and either encourage them or be annoyed by them, or like you were mentioning with Sly, sometimes Sly will say something and I'll respond, don't really... We don't have time for this or whatever, that kind of thing. I like that the most.
That was fun. Here's a little tip of the hat to the animators in the cutscene. I didn't know this until after we've talked to them, but there's a really hilarious moment when Bentley retracts to his shell and he has a picture of him. Penelope, and he tears it off, and it works out that it tears off, but Penelope's head is still there. So the only thing he's tore off is himself in the picture. Yeah. And I saw that, and that made me laugh out loud. I was like, that sucks to be him right now. Like, nothing is going good. Like,
that's a good detail. Good eye. That's great.
It genuinely made me laugh, if those guys are still listening.
When Penelope has mustaches drawn on her face after they break up, that's pretty great. You go into his binoculum, they each have...
Oh, they have mustaches.
Yeah, because like Murray's binoculum has the guru on a little doll, a Cupid doll hanging from like dice in a mirror. And then Bentley has, at first, Penelope with little hearts. And then later, she's got mustaches and glasses drawn on her face.
Let me interrupt with these quick anecdotes about my kid before I forget.
Okay. This just did. Anecdotes. Justin's son swallowed a rock.
And then you talk. That also happened. Which, by the way, I've gotten an update. First poop came out, no rock.
Okay, thank you.
But anyway.
He should have had several. He's 4 years old. Yeah. This should not be his first.
That's why they're expecting the rock.
He's on the dairy version of the South Beach. And, but anyway, we'll get to yours, Kevin. But these guys don't know is that this happened recently where he was looking through Murray's binoculum and it has the guru like a dash, like head hanging from a rearview mirror type thing. And it was cute to me that Jacob goes, oh, look, he's got his teacher there.
Oh, that's cool.
And I go, yeah, the guru, huh? And he's like, yeah. And what I just thought of that when you were describing the mustaches, and I've told Kevin this. When we first started kind of playing the games and stuff like that, and these are the genre of this video game or video games that my wife would definitely be into playing and stuff, but my son kind of has a vibe of it's like, this is kind of a guy thing. Like,
oh,
like,
really?
Like she couldn't hang, and it's also a dad and I thing or whatever. And I go, no, your mom could easily do this. Like she knows what she's doing. He's like, I'll show her. But she probably can't figure it out, which
That's
reminds
amazing.
Me, I should probably stop being so chauvinistic in front of him. But anyway, because I mean, video games she can handle, but driving a car, I think we can all agree, balancing a checkbook, figuring out major life decisions, probably way above her pay grade.
But, this moment of sarcasm brought to you by Justin. Maybe.
But anyway, he had this great thing where she goes, she was trying to be cute with him. She's like, so that's Sly Cooper? And she's like, he goes, yeah. And he's playing the game. He goes, he runs kind of funny, like commenting on him like creeping or whatever. Mm, yeah. And he goes, no, he doesn't. He runs cool. He's like, she's like, well, no, I'm just saying. He goes, what did she say? Do you remember what I texted you? She said
something
like.
It looks like he's sneaky.
Oh, he's sneaky. He goes, no, I'm saying he looks like he's sneaky.
Yeah, because he's a thief. Is what he is.
Wow, your son hates your mom.
He hates his mom, which is also my mom. Oh, if you really want to get Freudian about it,
right?
But my other favorite part is that we were playing. I think it was Sly 2.
3.
3? Okay, so we get to play as the guru like within a couple missions after this, and he just picks up the controller. I was going to do something or whatever, and he's moving the guru around trying to, and he can't figure it out, and he's like, "What?" He goes, "This old lady can't do anything." I've had that earmarked in my head to make sure to share that with our listeners because I thought they would get a kick out of that, but it made me laugh out loud. This old lady can't do anything. Which is great. I don't understand it.
Because he's a guy.
Well, it also made me laugh because if you think about it, all of his attacks are like pacifist oriented.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although, alternatively, ultra aggressive. Like, I'm going to invade your brain.
Well, the turning into
brain.
A stick isn't that hard. But then,
turning someone's mind. Yeah, that's not
and running them into a wall.
I feel like that's the most offensive attack ever.
Run into the wall.
All right, so now to you, Mr. Miller. Did you have a favorite mission or part of the game that was fun?
Oh, that's the question that we've been asking.
I can fill an hour, bro.
I know you can. I think you've asked this question. You've been doing it for a while, and I'm still like, I don't know what my answer is. I don't think I know the question. I'm still stalling right now. Ice Age is definitely the level. I said this before with the animators on. I think I've said it every time. I was just, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't what the Ice Age looked like. And when it came out, I was just blown away at how imaginative and creative it is.
But was that also the most fun for you to perform?
Oh, like, no.
That was my question to remind you from 40 minutes ago.
That's why we're talking about this.
To you specifically.
What did I enjoy? Oh, I enjoyed the cat calling at Carmelita. In fact, the way that whole scene came down with the chalk talk, evidently talking about the only way to get this done is if Carmelita belly dances, and then and then the line to be able to like really show Sly's sneaky side and say, "Bentley, this might be the best plan you've ever come up with because we're gonna watch Carmelita do a belly dance." That matched with the part where Sly can't touch any of the gold because if he touches the gold to create a time paradox because he can't steal the gold yet. And I loved that scene because it was a chance to like, I mean, that's what they tell you in comedy writing 101, right? Like put your character in a place where it just makes him go nuts. And that was so much fun to play, be the guy that steals everything and he can't steal the gold and it's just driving him crazy. So there was a lot of material to work with in both of those scenes. And they were fun to play.
I apologize because I have not gotten to that level yet.
But yeah, both of those are in the last level in the game. Yeah,
in my mind, I am imagining the scene where that interaction that you have, where she's going to be belly dancing, is that? Did you get to read that with Matt Olson doing Carmelita as well?
Or I don't think so.
No, I wasn't saying anything, but I was belly dancing. Yeah.
That's true. He generally is. If you listen to the Bentley lines, you can hear the gentle clink of the bells around his back.
I didn't understand why he had the little cymbals before we started. He goes, "Is this going to be awkward?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's kind of noisy. Put them away." But
Put on your shirt, Matt.
Yeah. You have a strong midriff. I must say that. You have a strong, I mean, Shakira would look at you and go, "Damn," is what I would say.
You need to get going to the final level of the game. You need to play the Arabian level.
Well, I've been knocking them down because for whatever reason, they started getting really challenging. And so my son, it became more, he was like, "Okay, you just do this part." And so we started playing Ratchet and Clank, which is a little more shoot 'em up, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And it's easier for him. But then it's interesting to me, and this is like, well, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit longer later on, or maybe this will lead into it, is that he really keys into these characters. Yeah. And there's something about these characters that my son really, truly adores through no influence or put Kevin, maybe to the chagrin of Kevin, that I've done nothing to push these people upon him.
Yeah, no kidding. It's so weird that you now, after years of doing the show, you can care.
Because I tried a while ago, right after we first shifted formats and started becoming a video game show, I'm like, well, I guess I should play these games. I think it was after you guys were on, or maybe it was just before.
Just before, I think.
It was just before you guys were on last time. And I was like, I finished the first game, no problem, crank that out. But I was like, halfway through the second one, and I'm like, ah, all right, I get it. Like, I don't. Yeah. There had to be something else that came out that I just lost interest. But
probably
having him there really like was it made it a ton of fun for me. Like he and I have now play, and then now I'm really hooked on. I mean, I literally go from playing it on my PlayStation 3, and if I have to leave or something like that, I always go, okay, save to the cloud, yeah, so that I can just download it on my Vita, and I carry my Vita, not really to play any other game other than that one.
Nice.
I like it so much. But to get back to what I was saying is that he wanted to go back to playing the game, which has slowed me down. I can't crank through the game like I used to be able to because he wants to play, and he's like, and it's great. Kevin's seen it happen. Because Kevin played another game with him a little bit, that he believes that anytime there's any kind of cutscene animation, you have completed a level. Even if it's a quick explanation of like, okay, here's what you're going to do. He's like, all right, give me the controller.
I just walked
to that spot. Yeah, you're done. You finished it.
And then he was doing it for a while where if you fell off a cliff, he took it. Like,
yeah. I'm like, Even though you would jump back up.
He's like, well, no, you died. I'm like, I didn't die. Whatever, you're four.
Right. But that's what has also made it a lot of fun is that he doesn't understand that when you fall off a cliff that it only takes a little bit of your health out.
Right.
He's like, falling off a cliff, I'm pretty sure is fatal. Like, you don't really bounce back from that, guys.
It's not like eating a rock.
Like, for the listeners, my son decided to swallow a rock today at preschool. Roughly,
oh, great.
Yeah. So that was odd. And I left the ER laughing out loud, just like. And he's like, "Why are you laughing, Dad?" I go, "Cause I said to him, I said these words to him. I go, okay, so can we not swallow any more rocks? Can we from here on? Have we learned that lesson?" And he was like, "Yeah." I just started laughing, and he's like, "What's so funny?" And I couldn't stop. I just go, and I'd start to talk, and I go, I just start laughing again. He's like, "What's so funny?" I go, "Because, son, I never thought I would ever have to say those words. I love you like crazy, but I just thought that would be a thing.
That you would know."
I didn't say it like that because I didn't want it to seem like I was calling him an idiot like to his face,
right.
But I also didn't want to let it go either, I guess. I'm not that good of a father. But blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I can just imagine.
But so your son, who I assume must be named Michael,
yes,
knows Kevin and loves Sly.
Yes.
Does he put those two together and does it get weird?
No, yeah, I told him tonight that I was going to talk to Bentley and Murray. And here's the thing, like, he also, his first favorite movie was Kung Fu Panda, and Kevin is good friends with Mick Wingert. He's been on the show. He's the voice of Po on the animated series. My son loves that show. He has met Mick, and Mick has said skadoosh to him, and he's like, blinks his eyes, like, whatever. But when I told him I was going to go talk to Bentley and Murray, my son was like, for real? And I was like, I go, well, the guys who do the voice for him. I've explained to him how voice acting works because Kevin is Sly. He understands Kevin isn't Sly, but.
Which is impressive.
Yeah.
It's good for him.
And so he's like, oh, and he's like sitting there. He goes, what are you going to say to him? Like he wanted to know, what are you guys going to talk about? Can I come? Like, what's going to go? Like, he actually was really, it's interesting to see how his mind wraps around. He likes, he'll recognize similarities in voice actors now between cartoon shows because we've talked about it.
Really?
He's usually off, but he'll be like, he'll be like,
tries.
You know, that sounds like that's the same guy who does this part on the other cartoon show.
Wow.
And I'll be like, it's not, but yeah, it sounds like him, but
that's
they're just doing a different voice or whatever. But yeah, he thinks it's a big deal that right now I'm talking to Bentley and Murray. He's like, wow.
What questions would he have?
Ooh, that's a great one.
Turn it right back at you.
I know.
Oh,
right.
Nice.
Let's see. What question would Jacob...
While you drum that up, I have questions from our Facebook
page.
Okay,
you ask that one first.
Okay, great. We have 58 likes when I told everybody that we were doing this tonight.
How many dislikes?
You really don't use Facebook, do you?
No. Yeah.
It is kind of weird that they don't have dislikes on an internet thing. Like,
I'm pretty sure that was intentional.
That's what it was invented for. Like,
you'd get more dislikes than likes. Tell the Murray Connor McBrain says hi. Does that mean anything to you? Connor McBain?
Connor McBain. I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Sorry,
just go
Connor
along
McBain.
With it. Just go along with it.
Says hi.
Connor McBain. Thanks.
Got it. All right.
Say hello right back.
Tell him I said a hibbity dibbity doo. I think that's to all of us. Okay. That's from Randy.
Noted.
Hart. James Patterson says Sly 2 on PSN is broken. I think that's an unrelated comment.
Isn't James Patterson the guy that wrote that book that turned out to be a false biography, autobiography?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that
was. He's a big fan of the show and the series, too.
John Pepper, one of our big-time contributors on the pages, says, only one word, awesome. Let's see, anything?
Four words.
Live long and, and press the circle button, Cooper Gang. That's from Kimberly Collins. Some of these are inappropriate for family usage. Zach Dull says, for Sly 5? Yes, yes. We have now given you the plot to Sly 5. If you take every other word. Emily Wallstrom wants to say, hi, Murray. Hi, Bentley. Hi, Sly. I love you all. Stay awesome, K. So
no.
Jonathan Grindle says hello. Bradley says, say hi to all them Koopa gang members. I love them all. I think that's in his best mugshot typing. But seriously, tell Matt Olson that I, Bradley Punja, loves him. Punjala. I didn't know that guy for a long time. I have no idea how to pronounce his last name.
Punjala.
I nailed it.
Well, thank him for singling me out.
Got it. Can do.
You just did.
Christian Simon says, did you ding them? We haven't dinged anybody tonight, so that'll come later.
That'll be when the mics go off.
Yeah. Mia Bollinger says, my heroes. And Nick Easton says, tell them Nick's season, a.k.a. number one Sly Cooper fan. I don't know what Eason means, but that's what they wrote. And Kevin Miller, your voice is beautiful. Oh, that's awkward.
That's had from a crush Kevin on you. Miller. I see it Sly on the page. Kevin Miller.
No,
wrote
that's,
Kevin Miller.
The computer just turned off. First SFP episode I heard was the one with all three of you. You are back together for another podcast. Makes me extremely happy. That comes from Robin Carasil. People just need to make, like, simple names like Michael. Tash says, ah, yeah! Carlos Getteris says, tell them not to open the briefcase.
I don't get that reference.
I don't know. Is that a Pulp Fiction reference? That's the best I can do.
Yeah.
That's from our page. I thought there were more questions. Turns out there were no questions.
That's fine.
My son would probably, if you said, do you have any questions, he would say, I like the Murray missions. That's what he would say if he had a question. That's what I'll say.
So, Chris, how do you respond to that?
Well, since he stated his question as an answer, I guess I should state my answer as thanks.
He likes the smash him up bang bang, and I don't know. This could be me showing my pictures to everybody that nobody cares about, but. What I thought was funny is that even though he's only four, like the final boss battle in Sly 3, there's that Murray portion of the mission where he's just solo beating off all the henchmen or whatever. And my son finished that for us.
Oh, like, that's cool.
I was making dinner and he tried like three or four times, but he actually, like Natalie was kind of going, oh no, you got to do that. You got to do that. And he figured it out and he actually like did almost a level of a final boss battle. I was impressed.
That is impressive.
That's the equivalent of him hitting a T-ball home run in me.
It's
in my
something
book.
That counts. Yeah. T-ball's late.
If he ever went outside.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. He's
they
a
don't
vampire.
Have a yard. We live in L.A. They have dog parks. That's about it.
And he doesn't play well with the other dogs. He's not socialized at all. So he keeps trying to hump them.
Does he like playing Murray when it's not smashing up, when it's doing like the he's doing the dance, you know, the
Simon Says stuff.
He handed it to me on the Grizz battle. Like he tried for a little bit and he knew like he knows the buttons, but the timing and stuff, like that's clunky for him. But he likes the idea of he just likes the idea of him being the brute. Like that's what's entertaining for him.
It's funny that when he play acts in preschool that he casts himself as Sly instead of as Murray.
Yeah. Well, he's the only one who gets it, so he wants to be the star, I think, going on in his brain. That's the only thing I could think of.
How does his Sly compare to Kevin's?
Ooh, yeah, we should do an audition.
He told me today on the way to preschool, this is before he swallowed the rock, he goes, you know what, Dad? I can talk like Sly.
Nice.
And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. I go, do you want to show me? He goes, no.
That is like Sly.
Sounds just
and
like
me. I was
me.
Like, I go, okay. Like, I really wanted to say, you mean you could talk? That's what I was hoping for, is that he would do some kind of Kevin Miller impression or something. Yeah.
Do you, Justin, do you do a Kevin Miller impression?
No.
Yes, you do.
I do?
Yes, you do. Play your voicemail, outgoing message. I'll call it for you.
That's right. That's like a 20-year-old bit. That's
I just called you today because you left me this voicemail that says your son had swallowed a rock and you're going to the hospital. So I called it back and I was like, man, it's kind of out of character right now.
Kevin has had, when we first got cell phones, Kevin had this voicemail where he said this very thing here. Hold on. Oh, I can't. No, I wasn't calling you. I was trying to be ready to just hang up on it so it would go straight to voicemail. So I just turned it off. So it should hopefully, there it goes.
That's a phone ringing.
Yeah?
That's him.
Yeah.
I guess we should show mine first so that you know the difference.
No, no, it's the same thing. It's just, this is me being Kevin on my voicemail. And it's been my outgoing message.
Hello, you've reached Justin's cell phone. Leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. As soon as possible.
Now call me and I'll show so we can see.
Open
the
your phone so you can hit decline and then that way I'll go faster.
So the delay I'm going to read that thesaurus.
All right, let's do mine.
That's a phone ringing for people at home.
Hello, you've reached Kevin Miller's cell phone. Leave me a message after the beep and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
So you see the as soon as possible.
I get it.
You know how everybody who does an impression has a mnemonic that like they go back and they touch it to get back as soon as possible. That's my mnemonic.
At this point, though, I'm
like Ray Romano and his, you know, like that, you know, kind of thing.
At this point,
go ahead
I'm doing
and do
an
the
impression
Ray
of yours. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I have.
That's a Muppet. Hey, speaking of Bradley, though, he sent us a gift and he wanted us to open it before Christmas. So let's do that now.
Where
is that gift? Oh, it's right here.
I put it right there.
I have it there.
Great.
Great. So I have no idea what this is. We hope it's not an ornament.
When did
he
send it?
Probably around Thanksgiving.
What's the
December 27th, 2012 is when he sent it.
I hope it's not a burrito.
It's shaped like a burrito, isn't it?
What if it was a hamster?
He wanted me to do this on air, but of course we've had guests on the show since we started this year.
You guys aren't guests.
Well, it seemed appropriate. Because
prisoners.
If I don't like it, I'm just going to give it to Matt, so... We'll have to raffle up.
While you're doing that,
it's in a Christmas box.
Oh,
it's nice.
It says Kevin on the front that he's written in little things. And then I open it up, and it's, I think this
Anthrax.
Is it. I think he just sent me a box. Oh, there's like scotch tape on here. All right,
Chris, you're
all right. First, Bradley, while he's doing that, nobody puts scotch tape on a present because you just sealed it in tape and difficult rubber and bubble wrap to mail it across the country.
From Miami, Florida.
Yeah. Don't you remember any Christmas gift that you opened that had scotch tape on it? You always knew that was a sweater. It's annoying.
This is going to be a tiny sweater. All right, open it up. There's foam on top.
Oh, paper towels that
another
are cut
foam.
Almost.
Oh, it's a little
necklace
that he has made. It's a very long necklace. Oh, it's extra
and
string.
It's extensions even.
Got it, yeah,
in
yeah.
In case you get a super fat neck.
It looks like a bone-made Sly Cooper symbol.
Wow. Nice.
Looks pretty good.
It's not bad, yeah.
It looks amazing.
Pretty great. I'll just slide this on here. I'll take off the headphones.
I imagine the hardest part of making that was finding the young Chinese boy to scratch, you know, to
kill and then take his bones. Thank you, Bradley. That's the best Christmas present I've received this year.
All right, guys. Here's how I have an idea to end this whole thing, since we know it'll be at least 2 years before we see each other again.
Before Sly 5 is announced.
All of the people listening, the popularity of the show is due to the popularity of your wonderful franchise. I think that, as we've said, that there's been large developments within each of your characters. So I would like each of you, as your characters, if I could be so bold, to answer the following questions that come from Bernard Pivot's questionnaire, often seen on Inside the Actor's Studio, because Kevin is looking puzzled at me, right. In case my reference isn't specific enough.
I wondered when we were going to get here.
So we will wrap it up by asking each of you, what is your favorite word? In any order, if you want. Chris, you can go first. It's you're over the phone. And
this is in character?
Yes, if you don't mind, please.
Sure. As Marie, hamburger!
See, already worth it to me. Bentley, what is your favorite word?
Gadzooks!
And Sly, what is your favorite word?
take.
Murray, what is your least favorite word?
Empty.
Did you just say empty? Is that what just happened?
Empty, yeah.
Empty. Thank you, Murray. Bentley, what is your least favorite word?
Elbow.
Sly, what is your least favorite word?
Jailhouse. Jailhouse.
Murray.
That was, the first one was a little off.
Yeah. It's been a while. A little out of practice. I haven't been sly in a while.
Murray, what turns you on?
Wow.
A jar full of peanut butter and an androgynous furry little creature.
Bentley, what turns you on?
A sharp intellect.
And Sly, what turns you on?
Carmelita Fox.
That was much better.
I remembered. I was doing an impression.
Murray, what turns you off?
Are these really his questions?
Flat tires.
Bentley, what turns you off?
A dull intellect.
Sly, what turns you off?
Mugshot in a wig.
Murray, what is your favorite curse word?
Balderdash.
Bentley, what is your favorite curse word?
Oochama goochama.
Sly, what is your favorite curse word?
Drat. I don't think I should go last. Okay. Remember that old straight man thing?
Yeah. Honestly, that's been part of my joy of this.
To watch that. Ha, 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 flat.
Sly, what sound or noise do you love?
Swish.
Bentley, what sound or noise do you love? Murray, what sound or noise do you love?
What a noise.
Sly, what sound or noise do you hate?
Oof.
Bentley, what sound or noise do you hate?
I'd like to change my answer.
Murray, what
that
sound...
That was me falling into fire. I don't know if that came. Okay.
Shorter, shorter.
What sound or noise do you hate?
After having doing that 20,000 times in a row.
Sly, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Museum curator.
Bentley, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Pastry chef.
And Murray, you?
I want to dance.
Sly, what profession would you not like to do?
Librarian, which I think is exactly like museum curator.
You're like an onion, Sly. You're an onion. Bentley, what profession would you not like to do?
Stab tester?
Murray, what profession would you not like to do?
Short order cook.
What about long order cook?
All right.
And finally, if heaven exists, Sly, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gate?
The streets are paved with gold.
Bentley, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You're much taller than I imagined.
And finally, but not last or least, if heaven exists, Murray, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
There's some cheeseburger in your mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for the wonderful cast of Sly Cooper.
Woo! Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Well, we're applauding ourselves?
Yes, yeah. Everybody
I'm applauding
apply.
You.
Oh, well, there are people on treadmills and on bus rides and in their cars also applauding. We've at least killed multiple people for the people driving cars that are applauding right there.
That's all it. I ever wanted.
KFC guy, what's the what profession would you want?
Yeah, exactly.
What profession would I want?
Yeah.
Anything. Anything other than what I'm doing right now.
What profession would you not want?
Because I'm tired of my feet being extra crispy. You picking up what I'm putting down?
What sound annoys you? What sound
or,
turned you on?
What do I want? It's all chicken, bitch. Get some mashed potatoes.
If heaven exists, what do you want God to say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
He stopped himself.
Brother, you got hoes, man. You got hoes, my brother.
I think the character's changed a little.
I'm sorry.
It's a little, yeah.
Softened up a little bit.
Yeah, he got a little Dwayne Johnson in there. We're riding in the windows.
Well, thank you guys so very much. For those of you listening that are new to the show, please do us a favor. Head on over to facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast. And throw us a like up there. Join the conversation where you will get to interact with tons of not only video game fans, but humongous Sly Cooper fans. Also, throw a like towards facebook.com. I want Sly Cooper to have in.
Yes.
I want Sly Cooper in his own animated series.
Got it. Yeah, it's very memorable.
Yeah.
You're asking them to like Facebook?
Yes. We're asking them to like a specific page on Facebook.
Okay.
And you should at least watch Social Network. It would explain half of these references. It's an Academy nominated film.
I'm waiting for the book.
Facebook, the book, page one.
But seriously, please throw a like up there because there's a strong chance that if we could get, I'm saying if we can get close to 50,000 or something like that, there's a viable chance that somebody will go, hey, wait a minute, there's a lot of people that would love to see this happen.
If we had 100,000, no one could
ignore it. Yeah, it'd be a done deal. Yeah. And
so everybody like it twice.
And through. And thanks for subscribing on iTunes. And you guys, there's no way that you can contact Matt Olson or Chris Murphy because
please don't.
The people at Sly can barely do it. But if there is a message you would like me to send it to him, please send an email to sly@secondfunniestpodcast.com. And I will make sure to forward it on to them. And I think that's it.
That's been great.
So on behalf of Chris Murphy, Matt Olson, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.